Welcome to the Truth Exchange Podcast. This is a unique program where we have conversations about worldview, all through the lens of oneism and twoism. This lens is based on Romans 1:25. We've exchanged the truth of God for the lie, worship and serve creation rather than the Creator who is blessed forevermore. Amen. I'm your host, Joshua Gilo, and with me is my teammate and friend and co-worker, Mary Weller.
Hi, Joshua.
And we are continuing the series on the 5 points of paganism, also known as the 5 points of oneism and twoism, or if you have Dr. Peter Jones's older book, classic book, Gospel Truth, Pagan Lies, and we'll be going through that together. Just a quick recap from last week's podcast. By now you've also, you'll see in the feed is that the episode with Mike Law has aired earlier this week on Monday. And that was a great episode. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, please hit pause, go and listen to that, and then continue this one here. I guarantee you'll benefit from a lot of from what is discussed in that episode. Now, for a recap, last week we discussed about the first point of paganism, that all is one, and then the point of the gospel, which is all is two, and it's a way of understanding reality. We say at Truth Exchange there are two types of reality. There's two types of worship. There is worship and service of the creation, or worship and service of the Creator. And the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, and this is interesting, Mary, when I was going through our archives and some of Dr. Jones's older notes, the word worship, and I didn't find this from Peter's notes, but he does mention this in one of his older lectures, but the Apostle Paul, the word that Paul uses is cybomai, and for which is used in all kinds of contexts in Greek literature and in the New Testament when it talks to worship. It's very broad. But then the serve or the service is latro-o. And what's interesting about that term is it's actually used in the Old Testament Greek text when it talks about the service of the Levite.
Oh, interesting.
And then
so serving as priest.
Yeah, the Apostle Paul then uses it in Romans 12.
Interesting.
Conforming our minds to God's word, which is our reasonable service.
Yeah.
And so Paul, he's writing about a people who have exchanged the truth of God for the lie. It's a definitive. Mm-hmm. And their error, it's a fundamental error. Rather, it's the object that they've chosen to do. It's what, like the prophet Isaiah or Ezekiel, they mentioned how they'll go and cut down wood, they'll go and make a fire or make their house out of it, and then they'll also use the leftovers to worship it.
Yeah.
It's foolishness, and it's an error that we as humans do, and we exchange what we should do. This morning, I was leading a men's Bible study, and we were in Psalm 8. And Psalm 8, of course, says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Mm-hmm. That person should go out and see the pagan, rightly. It should be amazed by creation, but that creation points ultimately to the Creator. And rather than worshiping the Creator, he worships everything, because to him, everything is divine. There is no external God. We worship ourselves. We worship the things that we see. And so the spirituality is in us, but it's also in the universe around us. Now, the second point of paganism is that all is, so if all is one, it follows then that humanity is also one. So this is the second point. So what does it mean to say that humanity is one? Well, everyone then shares in a divine power, because humanity is divine. Humanity is, in essence, it's humanity is good. So we make our own rules, and so we then can unite. We can bring the world to a new level of happiness and peace. This is why a lot of ideology out there that we would call oneist, where is it for like the elimination of borders, elimination of private property. You can even take it into the structure of the home is broken down and children are commodities. Any kind of structure or a system that has any kind of hierarchy is considered evil. Animals are brought up to being equal with human beings. And our culture laughs at it, right? The person who dresses their dog in baby outfit and puts their dog in a stroller and they say, this is my seventh child or my second child or this is my child. Where young people who are adopting animals rather than having procreating and doing by their natural design what they're supposed to do. Why?
Yeah.
Because all distinctions, because all is one, are eliminated.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because it's so we started with all is one, right? And then we go to all humanity is one. But if you already have the breakdown of all is one, then you do have people who are suing in, the American courts for the human rights of monkeys. They're suing for the human rights of rivers. I think that was happening down in South America. And that does bring up the question, well, who articulates the desires of those entities, because they're not in fact human, and yet we're supposed to treat them as human. So there are all of these strange ways where when you get rid of that first distinction that we talked about in the previous episode, then you immediately run into problems with the all humanity is one. There are problems even within humanity. There are males and females, there are parents and there are children. There are people put in authority over us. But then it doesn't even stay in the human realm, like you're describing, because of that first point of paganism. And it turns into a very scary mishmash. I think that we see this happen, the conflict of it, where people try and talk about, well, according to my moral good and my reality, this is true. You see this in transgenderism where I know who I am on the inside, but then the immediate requirement is that everyone else acknowledge who you are on the inside, even if those people are perceiving something different according to objective reality. It just, there's no ability for order or reason within this idea.
Yeah. And we see that also this idea or these notions that humanity is one. I quickly see it when I look at the news and I see it being taught in public schools or in public policy. And I mentioned things like the elimination of private property, the elimination of borders. And this isn't to say that the immigration is oneist, right?
Right.
It isn't to say that the uniting or finding peace among nations is evil. Those are good things.
Right.
But there's boundaries. The problem begins when that thing is elevated and everything else, all other categories get flattened.
Right. Well, I think you see this really clearly in a situation that just happened recently. I mean, it's an ongoing situation, but in the UK, where they have taken in numerous immigrants into the UK who are Muslim in their religious orientation. And I believe it was on Yom Kippur that there was a man named Jihadi who went and stabbed two Jewish men to death and killed them as they were going into synagogue on Yom Kippur. And so immediately right there, you have an individual who his belief about what is right requires the destruction of other human beings, because in his worldview, not all really is one, right? And then later on, there were protests and there were riots that happened in the UK as a result of that attack. And what got caught on video was a Jewish man who was walking on the streets. And he was stopped by the police because he was wearing kippah. He was wearing a kippah. And he was told that he was too outwardly, obviously Jewish. And so now you have a distinction where he's not allowed to be on the street because all humanity is not one, and he's the wrong type of human. Like he's showing himself to be the wrong type, and that's going to cause further harm and further violence because he's showing his Jewishness, you know? So you immediately see all that breakdown, this huge clash of worldviews that's happening. There always has to be a group of people who are on the outs according to this one system. So it doesn't work. And you're right that immigration is not inherently oneist, but the types of rampant, unfettered immigration that we're seeing, that is based on a oneist system, and it doesn't work. It results in chaos and violence.
Another area, oh, go ahead.
Well, and victimization,
yes.
Right?
Okay, talk to me about that.
Well, so for instance, I was listening to a podcast, I think just this morning, actually, where a gentleman who used to be in charge of Border Patrol here in San Diego was talking about the fact that the cartels were actively using the unfettered immigration system that we had under the Biden administration. And they were looking for areas along the border where they could overwhelm the Border Patrol agents by flooding their systems with innocents, people who were being trafficked, people who had paid money so that they could come across the border illegally and get into the U.S. But what they did is that they held back the second wave of immigrants, who were people who had paid more because they didn't want to be fingerprinted. They didn't want to be documented. And so they would flood with this first wave of people who were innocents so that then they could, once the overwhelm happened, they could bring in the second wave of people who were not innocent, who were coming here for nefarious reasons, and get them in without being fingerprinted. So those with more money and those criminal connections were being protected by that system. So that inherently means that there's victimization happening. We've lost hundreds of thousands of children through this system who are in the United States, and now we're trying to relocate them. We don't know where they've been. We had a labor camp up in California that was raided by ICE I think it was 2 months ago at a marijuana farm, and they found, I think it was 12 minors who were being forced to work.
Dang.
And wow. Unaccompanied. Right? And there were indicators that they had been abused. So victimization is inherent in these systems because it's based on human power without the authority, the moral authority that the Lord provides and advocates for through his scriptures.
Yeah. And so when you make humanity as one, you end up with a no king, no God, because you are absolute and your neighbor is absolute, but there's kind of this clash that takes place. And I'm reminded of this term that the Gnostics use, which was, it's fancy, abazelutos.
Okay.
Which means without a king.
Yeah.
They rule themselves. There is no recognition of anything above me, only sky. All right. If I to quote the John Lennon, imagine,
right.
Nothing above me, only sky, nothing below me, right?
Right.
So, but that it lends itself to utter chaos. And we have seen this also in the realm of sexuality. Mm-hmm. In the last episode, we talked about how during the 60s revolution, there was a number of things that transactions that took place that shifted drastically the American Christian culture or Christendom. And one of those, it was a sexual revolution as the, right. the gurus came over to the States, and they brought with it their mind altering experiences. There was also this radical revolution of sexuality that took place, and it absolutely disrupted so much, and everything we see from the feminist movement to the rise of homosexuality or in the embracement of it in the culture. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that now things come to blossom. And when people look back and they say, where did all this come from? That's where it was birthed. But that's where all this confusion has taken place. Dr. Jones had a teaching series on it called Living in the Land of Blur.
Right.
The blurred of those distinctions. Homosexuality is really just a combining of the male and female into one person. It's the androgynous person. And we'll talk more about that next week when we get to the third point, which is all religions are one. Because there's a deep, strong connection between sexuality and spirituality, or specific on religion. But we'll, without cracking into that, we'll get to that next week. But that is another part of an aspect of if humanity is one, sexuality is one. There should not be those distinctions. And this is really letting the cat out of the bag. Point four, which is there's a problem. And the problem is that there's distinctions.
Right.
In reality, because we worship and that we're created by a creator who makes those distinctions. So,
yeah.
Do you want to touch on anything more before we jump on to humanity is actually two?
Well, I do actually, because as you were talking about the ramifications of the sexual revolution, you know, we immediately think about the fact that then the family unit is broken down.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the effects of that, where more and more children are being raised in single parent households. Often those households are run by women. We see the depression, the behavioral issues, the drug addiction, the higher crime rates and situations like that. But now it's gone even a step further, where IVF and surrogacy are being used so that homosexual couples can adopt children. They literally can purchase children.
Yep.
You know, through the use of surrogacy. And then recently there was even a news report about a single homosexual man who had never, quote unquote, gotten married, but he wanted to be a father. And so he did. He purchased a baby. And so now here he is, a single man who's, I think I'm right about this, named his baby Aphrodite.
Oh, wow.
And so there is, there's a woman named Katie Faust who has founded an organization called Them Before Us. And Katie's really interesting. She was raised by a mother who was a lesbian, and she's very close to her mother, but she was raised by her mother and her lesbian partner. And Katie loves both of these women very much. But what she has asked us to acknowledge is that in these relationships and in these situations where children are brought into the world without a biological mother and father involved, we are inherently making a choice for us as adults who have the ability to make these kinds of decisions, and we're choosing parentlessness for these kids, even though that's worse for them because we're putting ourselves first. And so Katie talks about all the ramifications of what we have done to children by the acceptance of gay marriage within the culture, by the acceptance of IVF, by the acceptance of surrogacy, by the acceptance of allowing people who are single to have children. And so her entire organization is organized. It's called Them Before Us, because she's saying we have the moral requirement before God to make decisions that are good for children,
yeah,
and advocating policies on every level that choose the good and the well-being of these image bearers that we're bringing into the world over and above our own sexual desires, our own relational desires, the things that might, you know, immediately make us happy, because we're supposed to be raising up children in the way that they should go. She's a powerful voice. I'm hoping that we can get her on the podcast, actually, Joshua.
Yeah.
But the sexual revolution didn't just affect the way that people behave in the bedroom. It affected the entirety of the family structure, which affects the entirety of the culture.
Yeah.
So the rings never stop going out.
Right.
It's a, you know, you're seeing polyamorous gay throuples now that are adopting children into their homes and bringing children into their homes through surrogacy. And it, again, as I said, with regard to immigration, we inherently are creating systems of victimization by removing the structures that God put into place for us.
That's right. That's right. And that's where it ties into that the children are become commodities in all of this.
Yes.
And yes. It's grievous. That's utterly grievous. Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on to that humanity is two. All is one, or all is two. humanity is one or humanity is two. And this is that there are two kinds of people. There are those who are for God, and then there are those who are against him. There's zero neutrality on this. And it reminds me of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which says, how did God create man? God created man male and female after his own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. You know, as I was reciting that, Mary, it made me think of a conversation I had with somebody who was struggling with homosexual desires. And we were talking about the 5 points of paganism and the 5 points of the gospel. And he said, I think you're wrong on the aspect of humanity as one, because in the LGBTQ community, we see distinctions, right? LGBTQ. And then you've got your dozens and dozens of pronouns and dozens of different types of sexuality. And I said, well, those distinctions may exist, but they're a distinction that still finds itself against the backdrop of all is one, which the all is one eliminates what the Creator does.
Has made distinct.
Which, yeah. That's right. The Creator is the one who makes those distinctions. And those distinctions that you guys have come up with is simply that. It's it's categories within your own minds and your own, led away by your own sinful desires. They're not real.
They're not life producing.
They're not life producing. And I watched a debate a number of years ago. I think it was James White, and that was how he concluded. It was with somebody who is considers himself side A, gay Christian. And for our listeners who may not be familiar with that, or may just instantly say, there's no such thing as gay Christian, I agree with you. Yeah. There's a term called side A and side B, and without getting too much into the weed of it, the side A perspective is that you could be somebody who is a homosexual and still practice the Christian faith, living not only in a homosexual lifestyle, but also, quote-unquote, be married to somebody of the same sex, whereas side B says they believe in holding either a vow of celibacy or a life of chastity, but still living as in a homosexual lifestyle. And that's where it's very problematic. But
and even that those homosexual tendencies are a gift.
That's right.
That they're a created gift.
That's right. That's right. Had Adam not fallen, Adam still would have been fully able to embrace this homosexual type of lifestyle with Eve. It's quite a mess, and I commend you to some of our resources on the Truth Exchange website, where I've talked about it. Dr. Jones is talking about it at length, as well as our friend Rosaria Butterfield has many resources on this. And so, anyways, all that to say is that this young man was wrestling with, well, doesn't the homosexual community have categories? Don't we have the distinctions? But really, it's like in Gnosticism, the Gnostic system is a dualism of dark and light, good and evil, right? But it's up against, ultimately, it's a monism, because all is one. So they're really, truly, in the LGBTQ, it is an androgyny culture that eliminates the true distinctions, because they're all borrowing and trying to be something that they're not. So
it's based on desire rather than based on reality.
That's right. And I think Rosaria has said it's also based on a coveting.
Envy.
Mm-hmm. Coveting your neighbor's sexuality or sex. Specifically, strongly on the transgender issue.
Right.
So, and if humanity is two, The only true unity is created by common faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the one who defines those two categories of people, his children, and then those who are in rebellion against him. And this is where true Christian love knows no racial or economic barriers. And scriptures teach us that all humans are created by God. And so in this sense, all humanity is equal. But no human is intrinsically more valuable than another in God's eyes.
Correct. At any stage of life, from conception forward, no human being carries less value in God's eyes.
Yeah. And that's where the IVF issue and children as commodities, I think, really should strike us as believers and should call us to prayer and should call us to action. It's been a topic that here at Truth Exchange we have been touching on for a number of years, and it's not something that's going away anytime soon. And so...
Right. No, there actually was a conversation about it that was happening yesterday because I can't remember whether it was via executive order, but the Trump administration enacted pro-IVF ruling, or it's not legislation because it didn't come out of Congress, but agreements on huge funding for IVF research and making IVF available, more available, readily available to people. And someone made the point yesterday, and forgive me that I don't remember who it was, because it was a really good point, that because of IVF, IVF has killed more distinct image bearers because of the shedding, you know, the massive creation of embryos and then the selection of the appropriate embryos to be given further life. And so IVF has killed more image bearers than abortion has.
Well, is that what the stat is now?
I need to go back and look at that. But when you think about the fact that they make as many embryos as possible in most instances, I know people who only had a certain number made and then committed to having all of them implanted in the hopes of giving them life. There are still moral implications in that process, I think. But in systems where that's not the case, they're creating embryo after embryo after embryo and then destroying them through selection, genetic selection, sex selection, all of the different, you know, intelligent selection, whether they think they have Down syndrome or not. There's testing that's done. And they are killed en masse. And so I think that the implications of that are something that we as Christians, I certainly have not really wrapped our minds around. And I will look, see whether I can find some of those statistics or numbers so that we can talk about that in the next episode. But it was just an interesting conversation that was had. I mean, and we talk about too, the fact, I think that there are millions of embryos that are frozen.
Oh my goodness.
You know, there are couples that in divorce proceedings are fighting over the preservation of, you know, embryos that have been created. They're held in banks. And so this is a huge, huge worldview issue and moral issue for Christians to be considering, I think, more deeply than we have.
Not to just drop that subject, we may need to just to do an episode on it by itself. Mm. I'm not sure who we could get on as a guest. Maybe you know somebody, Mary. But you said the Katie.
Would be a great person.
Yeah. We should. Would you pursue that?
Yeah, absolutely. I will.
That would be interesting. But going back to it, that humanity is actually two, and this even goes back. You know, we always say at Truth Exchange that the lie. Is the lie, it goes all the way back to the garden.
Yes.
Right? Did God really say? Yep. Mm-hmm. You will be as God.
Yeah.
Knowing good and evil. Well, the humanity is too goes back to the garden as well. That God says, I'll put enmity between you, between the seed of the devil and the seed of the woman.
Yes.
Okay. So there has always been two seeds, and it is this cosmic clash of that, and of the kingdom of God that is expanding against and pushing out the driving out the darkness of the kingdom of the devil. And so God's children, God's people, we recognize God as creator, distinct from his creation. And so we've accepted his revelation through his word of himself by his word, that from his word that we read that Jesus has offered himself as the payment for our sins. And this is where forgiveness comes from. This is where the erasure of sin. It's the great exchange. We give him, he takes on our sin and he gives us his robe of righteousness. He gives us the ring. He welcomes us back. The Father's arms welcome us back. And so when we don't come to this reality, this truth on our own, but on his.
Yes.
We are his people because of his saving work. So he's the one that unlocks the door to the kingdom. And this is why, again, we're coming up on the Reformation Sunday, why the church confesses Christ alone.
Yes. And the continuity there, Joshua, where we are created by God in his image, and therefore we each carry inherent value as his image bearers. That equality continues over into God's people because all of us carry that perfect record by Christ's grace and work alone. And so there's an equality within the church, within God's people as well. And that, and again, there are still structures, right? There are pastors, there are elders, there are fathers, there are mothers, there are children who are being raised up within covenant communities. And so there are still those protective, instructive distinctions that are made, and yet we all carry that equal value and that equal redemption before the Lord because of the work of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And in every other realm within these oneness systems, we end up with this Pandora's box of victimization and inequality and retribution and the leaving out of certain people, the harming of other people for the sake of trying to hold on to this false oneist, you know, image, delusion that we're trying to keep there. That doesn't happen in God's system. Because of God's authority, because of who he is and the way that he operates, the Pandora's box never gets opened that way when we're operating within the structures that God has set out for us. That's not to say that we don't deal with the results of sin on this side of heaven.
Yeah.
And yet the protective structures that he has set out are the best ways to encourage human flourishing for as many people as possible until Christ comes back. And I love that there's that continuity, that hope, that blessed peace that we have because of the way that he has set things up.
Did you have something you want to do for Behind the Headlines?
Well, I just have a little interesting note. This was something that you and I were talking about before we started recording today. But, you know, I've said before over and over and over again, you cannot untrue truth.
Mm.
And as our listeners know, because I say it every single episode, I spend most of my time paying attention to the effects of transgender ideology on our culture. And there was a really interesting report that came out. A study was released just this month, actually. And that is revealing that new data is showing that fewer young adults are identifying as non-binary and trans.
Hmm.
So it seems that some of this culturally invasive and infectious delusion that we can be something other than male or female or neither, that delusion seems to be dying. It just does not seem to have the cultural weight any longer that that it used to. More and more people are feeling that they can speak out. More and more people are detransitioning who got caught up in these lies and speaking about the damage that was done to them.
Yeah.
More and more young people are just fed up with being scared all the time that if they misgender a person or dead name a person or don't want to acknowledge the delusions of another person, that they are hateful people. Or that it makes them special somehow. If they do glom onto these ideas, the weight and the power of that seems to be dying out. And I don't know if this is going to be a continuing trend. I pray that it will be, but I found that very hopeful. So I just wanted to bring that up in case our listeners hadn't heard about it.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Mary, for sharing that.
Well, this concludes another episode of the Truth Exchange podcast. And Joshua, I have to say to you, we were talking about this ahead of time, but it is such a joy to be regularly co-hosting the podcast with you again. I've missed it, and it's just been wonderful. And I'm so excited for us to be going back over what sometimes we think about as old content, mm-hmm. But it's new content to so many people, and there are new aspects of its relevance that we're seeing every single day in the headlines. I love that we're talking about things that are happening in the headlines when we record these episodes, because every single day there's more and more relevance for what we're discussing. And so I want to thank all of you who have been listening, whether it's on iTunes or Spotify or through the website or on YouTube. And I would just encourage everyone who's listening, please take a moment to like not just the episode, but also the show itself. Take a moment to subscribe to it, to make a substantive comment. We read those, we respond to those, we love hearing from you. And that just helps us with the algorithms. We are constantly working to get this content in front of other people, and you guys actually are the most integral part of doing that. So please take a moment to like and subscribe and share with other people who you think would find this useful. And you can always email us too at office@truthexchange.com. That's truth, the letter X, and the word change.com, office@truthexchange.com. Let us know if there's something that you've seen that represents really well one-ism or two-ism in the culture, or if you have a question or think that we got something wrong. We want to hear about that so that we can discuss it. And we are so thankful for all of you. This ministry exists because of your contributions and your sharing it with other people. So thank you so much. Joshua, thank you for having me on again. And we just love and are thankful to all of you guys who are listening. Have a great day.